Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 28th, 2023, 1 John.
Just thought I'd just check it out. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. We are in the great section on virtue, love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And that is taught here in a great, great way. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And we have learned a little bit about it. We have a lot more to learn about it. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, we give you a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. This is a Voice of the Martyrs. And they have a couple of very important articles. I'm going to read one of them to you tonight. Save the next one for the next time we are together. We have in this country a vicious and satanic evil that is spreading all throughout America. We are becoming a socialist nation. There is no difference between socialism and communism. And that simply is another demonstration that we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. Here is the sad thing about becoming a socialist nation. Socialism hates Jesus Christ. socialism hates Christians. And every place where a nation has operated by socialism, Christians are persecuted, churches are shut down, they're destroyed, pastors and Christians are put in prison. And that is the outwork of an atheistic, socialistic society. In the Voice of the Martyrs, an article about Cuba. Following a September 2022 referendum, an extensive new family code came into effect in Cuba in January of this year. And the new code abolished the concept of parental custody of children. Who is in charge of the children? The government. The same thing is happening right here in America. Socialism doesn't want parents to be in custody of their children. They think they know a better way, plus they want to indoctrinate your children with their ideology. Frontline workers report that this legal change essentially makes Cuban children wards of the government. They are now wards of the government and denies parents the right to raise their children in the Christian faith. Parents are not allowed to teach their children about Jesus Christ and teach them the Word of God. Christian leaders are concerned that the law will be used to silence the faithful witness of Christian parents. Churches and individual Christians in Cuba face unrelenting pressure from the government, which remains committed to communism's atheistic ideology and views Christians as a threat to the revolution begun by Fidel Castro and Che Guevara in the 1950s. Church buildings are routinely seized and demolished. Pastors and other church leaders are harassed and arrested and put in prison. Now, if that happens here, why, they'll come in and they arrest us. I'm not worried. If they arrest us and put us in prison, they're going to let us out. If we sing. If this church sings in there, it'll be so horrible, they'll say, get back out. So, when we're arrested and put in prison, not to worry. We'll make a joyful noise to the Lord. And by the way, that's what the Bible says. We're supposed to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And we fulfill that literally. So, not to worry. But those days are coming. You can see it already in America. Pastors and other church leaders are harassed and arrested, and Christians are often denied jobs and denied educational opportunities. Still, believers continue to grow. And the church The church in Cuba is growing. And there is bold evangelistic activity going on, even though they know that if they're caught, they'll be arrested and put in prison. The church in Cuba is growing. This family code established by the government had already created barriers for Christian families. For example, children are required to attend public school in order to receive proper instruction in socialist ideology. And parents who do not comply will be arrested and put in prison. Christian leaders in Cuba warn that the new laws will make it easier for the government to take the children away from Christian families that oppose socialist ideology. Well, I oppose socialist ideology. God opposes socialist ideology. It is satanic to the core. It is a great, great evil. And just another sign that we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 5. 1 John 4, starting at verse 5. They, the false teachers, they belong to the cosmic system, the cosmos. Therefore, because of this, they keep on teaching from the source of the cosmic system. And the world, that is, those living in the cosmic system, both the believers and unbelievers, they keep on listening to them and believing them, and they follow their false teaching. Verse 6. We and only we, Orthodox pastors teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, are from the living and true God. The one who has come to know God, and that's our word gnosko, who have developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, he keeps on listening to us, sound doctrinal teachers. But the one who is not from God absolutely does not listen to us. And by this we have come to know, to discern and to understand the Spirit of Truth, and that's a very special title in the Word of God for God the Holy Spirit. We have come to know the Spirit of Truth, God the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error, delusion, and deceit. Verse 7, Beloved, royal family of God, let us love one another. Impersonal love for all, a very important part of virtue love, because impersonal love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves with impersonal love for all has been born from God, regeneration, and has gnoskoed, has come to know God. That is, develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Well, there at the end of verse 7, and has come to know God. This is the believer in Jesus Christ who has positive volition and humility. There are only two gifts that you need to have. The wise men, they brought gifts when they came to worship Jesus Christ. There's only two gifts you need to come to worship Jesus Christ, and that is positive volition and humility. You assemble in any sound doctrinal Bible teaching church, and you come in with positive volition and humility, then you will assemble and worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ. So the one who has come to know God, Gnosko, this is the believer with positive volition and humility who consistently and faithfully assembles in a sound doctrinal church and learns and believes the Word of God. The result is that he obeys the mandates of the Word of God, and that results in having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And that is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. The one who has come to know God, Gnosko, has developed personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, which is occupation with Christ. In other words, personal love as a virtue is always directed toward God the Father, toward God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal love directed toward man is always virtue dependent. And therefore, it must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all to be successful. Personal love for God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, are great problem-solving devices for those who attain spiritual adulthood, for those who grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, is the only true and genuine priority solution for the believers in the church age. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ also insulates the believer from arrogance, protects you from arrogance, protects you from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. So again, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, royal family of God, let us love one another, impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from God. Furthermore, everyone who loves with impersonal love for all has been born from God, regeneration, and has Gnosko come to know God, develop personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, after we completed the exegesis of verse 7, we started to pull together a summary. And we have 8 points of that summary. I know a lot of you probably thought that was enough. 8 points was enough. But, we have more than 8 points. So let's review those first 8 points. Point one, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ are two separate and distinct categories of virtue love. Virtue love is made up of 3 categories. First of all, category number 1, personal love for God the Father. Personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue for you to live the spiritual life, motivational virtue for you to have impersonal love for all mankind. But this has to come first. Once you have personal love for God the Father, now you can be motivated, this is the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all. Now, what is all? All is all. Every member of the human race, all mankind. Impersonal love for all. That's impossible apart from the grace and power of God. And then third, occupation with Jesus Christ. And that is the motivational virtue that is the great priority solution. Priority solution in your Christian life. So virtue love is made up of three categories. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ are two separate and distinct categories of virtue love. Point two, personal love for God the Father produces one thing, while personal love for God the Son, occupation with Christ, produces something else in the spiritual life. Three, they are both problem-solving devices, and they are both a part of virtue love as the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age. Four, love for God the Son, occupation with Jesus Christ, is a motivational virtue that emphasizes priority in the spiritual life. Point five, love for God the Father emphasizes motivation to live the spiritual life. Point six, personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, which is the functional virtue of the spiritual life. Point seven, motivation is very important in life. And your motivation must come from God. From God. Not from other people. From God. Inevitably, the believer without God's problem-solving devices, the believer without virtue love, the believer who has no personal love for God the Father or impersonal love for all or occupation with Jesus Christ, this believer winds up being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Instead of living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God, he lives his life in Satan's cosmic system. Point eight, impersonal love for all mankind is the ultimate expression of virtue, of honor, of integrity, of humility, of objectivity. Impersonal love for all mankind is the ultimate expression of virtue, integrity, honor, humility, objectivity. Now that brings us to point nine. Point nine, in the Word of God, we have a mandate given again and again and again. And that mandate in the Word of God is love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that doesn't just apply to the family living next to you. That's not neighbor. That's a neighbor, but I know some of you say, I love my neighbor living next to me. I just don't love the one two houses down. That's... That guy's a jackass. So the mandate to love your neighbor as yourself has come down to us from the age of Israel. So I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Now, some of you might be asking, can you have impersonal love for all and rebuke someone? Chew them out. Brace them. If you do that, does that mean you have no impersonal love for all? I'm glad you asked that. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 17. Do not hate your brother in your heart. That's a mental attitude sin. So if you are involved in mental attitude sins, then you're out of fellowship with God. You are not in fellowship with God. You're not living the spiritual life if your life is characterized by mental attitude sins. But notice the next line. Rebuke your neighbor frankly. Or, it's translated, you may surely reprove your neighbor. That's yes. Can you reprove your neighbor? Well, we're commanded here. There are times when you rebuke individuals. There are times when you reprove your neighbor. And that's totally, totally consistent with impersonal love for all. So it says here, rebuke your neighbor. You may surely reprove your neighbor. Why? So that you will not share in his guilt, his sins, his arrogance. Now, as a communicator of the Word of God, this Bible that I have up here and that you have in your laps, this is God's Word. I believe it with all my heart that this is the Word of God. This isn't my Word. This isn't from people. This is the Word of God. And God has given me a spiritual gift so that I can study and then teach to you exactly what the Word of God, what God is trying to say. And when you assemble in a sound Bible teaching church, you're assembling to hear what God has to say to you from His Word. There is nothing more important than that. Nothing. Now, I've been here 46 years. I know it looks like I've been here 406 years, but I've been here 46 years. When I first came here, I had to start out and give the rules. I had to start out with the rules. Here are the rules. You don't talk. No talking while the Bible's being taught. No disturbing other people around you while the Word of God is being taught. Most of the people that come in here are serious students of the Word of God. And therefore, you're expected to have manners, courtesy, thoughtfulness of all the other people around you. When you get up and walk out, you're saying you are more important than God is. You're more important than the teaching of the Word of God. And you are arrogant to the core. And any time that happens, I will rebuke. Always. Every time. And can you do that and have impersonal love? Absolutely. And if I don't do it, I'm wrong. I'm out of line. But I do. When you assemble to hear the teaching of the Word of God, you come in here with courtesy, manners, thoughtfulness, keep your mouth shut. If you don't like what's being taught, you sit there anyway. You sit there till class is over, and after class is over, you want to leave and never come back? Great, then don't come back. But when you get up and walk out, you are saying you're the issue. You're putting all the issue on you. How arrogant can you be? You're interrupting the teaching of the Word of God? That is evil. That is blasphemy. That is horrible. And that will not go on in this local church. And I've been in other local churches. Baraka, Pastor Thame. He never allowed that to go on, ever. Not one time. And he would always stop and say, "You, right there, you stop that." You come up and see me afterward. Or when I was I got to be a bouncer at some of the Bible conferences. They assigned me to be a bouncer, and the colonel said, "Now, if I who do I get attention if somebody gets up and disturbs me as a teacher or the people around them?" They said, "Oh, Dick Olson. He'll be in the back there." So somebody got up while the colonel was teaching the Word of God and not only disturbed Pastor Thiem, which was horrible, but disturbing all the people. When you get up and walk out, you know, nobody is listening to me or the pastor anymore. They're watching you. They're watching you. And like you are more important than the teaching of the Word of God. You're not more important than the teaching of the Word of God. And I still remember this was a Bible conference in Dallas. Somebody got up from the balcony, but he disrupted Pastor Thiem from teaching the Word of God. And he said, "Dick, get that guy coming out of the balcony." "Yes, sir." Well, I didn't have all these things I was supposed to say. I knew it pretty much. When the guy came down, I said, "You know, when you got up and walked out, you know you disturbed God's servant, God's minister who is teaching the Word of God? That's extremely arrogant. How can you, that is so arrogant to disrupt the communicator, God's personal servant teaching His Word. And not only that, everybody around you wasn't even listening to the pastor anymore. They're watching you as you file out. You are extremely arrogant. You can't be more arrogant. You're saying you're more important than God, the Word of God, and the teaching of the Word of God. And you are wrong." And then he had his, they all have excuses. And on he went. First thing Pastor Thiem did, Colonel did. Colonel came out down. He goes, "Dick, what did that guy say?" I said, "Well, he had these excuses." "Yeah, those are all excuses." "What did you tell him?" I explained to him. He said, "Next time you tell him, don't ever come back." I said, "Well, yes, sir, I didn't say that. But you know what? I'd like to be bouncer again if I can. And I will definitely say that." You see, when you assemble to hear the teaching of the Word of God, you come in with two gifts: positive volition and humility. And humility is respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of God's servant who is teaching the Word of God. So, can you rebuke and reprove your neighbor and still have impersonal love? Yes, we're commanded to. We're commanded to right here. We're first of all told don't have mental attitude sins, like hate, but rebuke your neighbor frankly. You may surely reprove your neighbor. Why? So that you will not share in his sins. His sins. Because he is sinning. So, and then we have verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So here we have impersonal love for all in the very same passage where you are to rebuke, reprove your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in his sins. So yes, I learned I learned from two of the greatest pastors I've ever known, Pastor R.B. Thieme, Baraka Church, and Ron Breckel, Bethany Bible Church. I learned from those two men. They were both great, great Bible teachers, great servants of the Lord. And I learned from them. What did I learn from them? That this is the Word of God. They had, both of them, the highest regard for the Word of God. And so do I. I have the highest regard for the Word of God. And I will not tolerate that. I thought I, after 46 years, I didn't have to give out the rules. But I found out that I guess I do have to give out rules. So if you find, if I see some people come in who look like they haven't been here and don't know what's going on, well, I'll make it clear at the beginning. If you cannot sit here with manners and courtesy and poise without disturbing anyone around you, then during silent prayer, that's the time for you to get up and leave at that time so that I don't embarrass you in front of everybody else, because I will. So Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. Very important passage. Now turn over to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to hold a Bible class. Matthew 22, let's start at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Now, again, we're talking about unbelievers. These are the religious leaders of Israel, and they think they're the experts in the Scriptures, but they're not even saved. So hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, now the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him. He's testing Jesus Christ. He's testing him because, well, he doesn't believe he's the Messiah anyway. He does not believe he's the Messiah. He does not believe he's the Savior. So he tested him with this question. And he doesn't call him Lord. He doesn't call him Messiah. He calls him Didaskalos, just a teacher. And he says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Well, that's personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Two parts of virtue love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets, that's the Old Testament scriptures, they all hang on these two commandments. Now turn over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Start at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, He asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now Jesus Christ answers, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is unique. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So once again, we have virtue love, personal love for God the Father, occupation with Christ, impersonal love for all mankind. Now turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not lust, and whatever other commandment there may be, they're all summed up. They're all summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Virtue love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, virtue love is the fulfillment of the Mosaic Law. Now turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 14. For the whole law, the Mosaic law, is fulfilled in the single command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Impersonal love for all mankind. The great functional virtue of virtue love. So point 9 again, the mandate to love your neighbor as yourself comes down to us from the dispensation of Israel, Leviticus 19, 17 and 18, Matthew 22, 34 to 40, Mark 12, 28 to 31, Romans 13, 8 to 10, Galatians 5, 14. And therefore, that mandate to love your neighbor as yourself applies not only to the dispensation of Israel, but also to the dispensation of the church age. Point 10. Furthermore, in John chapter 15, verse 17, Jesus said, this is my command, love one another, impersonal love for all. In John 15, 17, Jesus said, this is my command. Not an option, a mandate. Love one another. Impersonal love for all. Point 11. God the Father has a command to the whole human race, every member of the human race, all of mankind. And that command is in the first half of 1 John 3:23. And that mandate for the whole human race is this, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a mandate for every member of humanity, every member of the human race, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Point 12. Then God has a command to all the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. That's the second half of 1 John 3:23. And the second half of 1 John 3:23 says, and to love one another, impersonal love for all mankind. So in that one verse, there is a mandate for the whole human race, first half, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and then the second half, to love one another with impersonal love for all. Point 13. Impersonal love for all is the only way you will treat the rest of the human race with virtue, integrity, and honor. Impersonal love for all is the only way that you will treat the rest of the human race with virtue, integrity, and honor. So again, 1 John 4:7 says, beloved royal family of God, let us love one another with impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from God. Furthermore, everyone who loves impersonal love for all has been born from God, regeneration, and he has come to know God, gnosko. He has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Now this great passage, you just keep on through chapter 4, more about virtue love. Chapter 5, more about virtue love. And I won't say chapter 6, you all know now there's no chapter 6. But 2 John will pick it up again. 1 John 4, verse 8. He that loveth, in the King James Version, we always start with it, and it's not very thundering here. He that loveth not knoweth, he who loveth not knoweth not. I got to work on my lisp. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Okay, well, he's talking about anyone who does not has not developed impersonal love for all, then obviously he has never developed personal love for God or occupation with Christ. That's what he's saying here, but you never know it in the King James. So it says here, what we have is the articular present active participle of agapao with the negative me, plus the aorist active indicative of gnosko again with the objective negative ouk, plus the accusative singular theos, with the definite article. All right, well, we have here one of John's favorite words, agapao. That's the verb. The verb is A-G-A-P-A long O, agapao. From the verb, we get the noun agape. A-G-A-P long E, and both of them are words that describe and deal with virtue love. Agapao is the verb for virtue love, and John uses it in this verse. He's emphasizing one category of that, which is impersonal love for all. The articular participle, well, you've heard this enough times, you're starting to get the hank of it. The articular participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun. It is correctly translated, the one who loves with impersonal love for all. But we have with this articular participle the negative me. M long E, me. And with the negative me, this articular participle, substantival participle, is correctly translated, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all. So it says, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all. And then we have also the verb gnosko again, which we're getting familiar with this one. G-I-N, long O-S-K, long O, Gnosko. And Gnosko means to know or to come to know. But we have with this the objective negative. The objective negative in the Greek is ouk. It looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Ouk is the objective negative, and the objective negative slams the door. And you correctly translate it, he absolutely does not know. He absolutely has not come to know. And then what does he absolutely not know or absolutely has not come to know? Theos. T-H-E-O-S, God. He absolutely has not come to know God. He absolutely is not, he does not know God. And that means he has absolutely no personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. He absolutely does not have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And John has taught this already. He taught this in 1 John 2 verse 4, which you might remember, says, the one who keeps on contending, claiming, maintaining that I know God, gnosko, that I have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, but he does not obey his commands, his mandates, he's a liar. He's a liar, and the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. So again, the corrected translation so far in verse 8, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. He has no personal love for God the Father and no occupation with Christ, because you will never, it's impossible to have impersonal love for all until you first of all have personal love for God the Father. The one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. He has no personal love for God the Father and no occupation with Christ, because that must come first before there is ever impersonal love for all. And then it says, for God is love. And I have heard so many idiots say that. Oh, God is love. And, I mean, they're usually living in the cosmic system and they don't even know what love is, but they love to say, God is love. Usually some guy trying to get a gal in the sack with him and saying, God is love. Let me love you and you can love me and we can love each other. That's not what here. For God is love. And there we have, and by the way, there is no word for. We have the conjunction hati plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article plus the present active indicative of eimi plus the nominative singular of agape. Hati. H-O-T-I. Hati. Hati is a causal conjunction and should be correctly translated because. And it gives the cause or the reason why the believer who does not have impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. And the reason is because God is virtue love. God is virtue love. That's what this says. Because God is virtue love. Ha theos, the God, the living and true God. And then the verb eimi. E-I-M-I, eimi, the verb to be. This means is. The present tense is a nomic present. The nomic present introduces a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this: God is virtue love. That is the attribute of God. God is virtue love. The active voice, the living and true God, performs the action of being infinite virtue love in His very essence. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed scriptures. The word agape is love. Agape along with meno are two of the terms that John really loves in this epistle. And for John, agape is the noun for virtue love. And meno, the word to abide, is the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. So the corrected translation says, personal love for God the Father, that's the summary. The corrected translation says, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. He has no personal love for God the Father. He has no occupation with Christ because God is virtue love. Make sure you get the corrected translation. The one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. He has no personal love for God the Father, no occupation with Christ, because God is virtue love. And the motivational virtue has to be developed first in your soul before the functional virtue of impersonal love for all can be manifested. So, in summary, one, personal love for God the Father is the great motivating virtue. Personal love for God the Father is the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, which is the great functional virtue of the spiritual life. Personal love for God the Father is the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all, which is the great functional virtue of the spiritual life. When you have impersonal love for all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly, well, then you definitely have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Two, if you want to know your status quo as a believer, whether you're living the spiritual life or living in Satan's cosmic system, it's really very, very simple. Just check yourself out. Do you have impersonal love for all? And all means all. Three, lack of impersonal love for all mankind is the manifestation of living in Satan's cosmic system. You're not living the spiritual life. Lack of impersonal love for all is the manifestation of living in Satan's cosmic system, and you're out of fellowship with God and you're not living the spiritual life. And the sad thing today in America is that most believers have not come to know God. They have no personal love for God the Father, no occupation with Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're living in Satan's cosmic system. Four, it is impossible to have personal love for God and occupation with Christ or impersonal love for all when you're living in Satan's cosmic system. It is impossible to have personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, or impersonal love for all when you're living in this cosmic system. It's impossible to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart if you're living in Satan's cosmic system. And the ultimate objective, why we are here after salvation, is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the motivational virtue. And then you will be motivated to love your neighbor as yourself. The great functional virtue. Those two sum up the entire law, the entire Old Testament scriptures. All right. Well, that's only 4 points in our summary. Is that all? Nada. But you have to come back next. Well, and I might as well tell you now. Communion service is this Sunday. This Sunday, communion service. And then I have some things I'm going to got to have done medically. And so next week, you get to listen to, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a special that I did on pleasing the Lord. The doctrine of pleasing, what the Word of God has to say about pleasing. So that will be, I won't be here in my body, but I'll be here in my spirit. And it's a very, I think, a very wonderful series. And so for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you'll get to hear about pleasing the Lord. And then if everything goes all right, I'll be back here the following Sunday. So this Sunday, communion. And the following Sunday, I'll be here teaching. And the Sunday after that, guess who we have then? Oh, Lord, help us. Rapid Robert Wilkin will be here the Sunday after, and he has the class, and he won't be, he's not very rapid right now. He's been having some health problems too. But he'll be here the Sunday after and have class. And of course, Bob Wilkin is the best Grace Evangelical Society. And it's always an honor and a privilege to have him here. So he'll be the Sunday after that. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.